everybody, and welcome to Niche Podcast, about the one thing I know something about: game shows. I suppose I'm your host, Jordan Haas. This is summer. It's hot. Happy July. And you know what's on the air every summer that I think is just kind of just mandatory television? That America's Got Talent. That's why today's episode is the Got Talent series. America's Got Talent, one of the longest running reality competition shows out there. It even was longer than American Idol. When it debuted, it was in 2006, and it's now 2021, meaning it's been on the air for 15 years. So there's probably zero chance I could see this show going away anytime soon. It has a longevity of it because it's been on the air for currently 16 seasons, once a year, practically. Well, I think one bonus one for the Champions series. That was kind of fun filler, as it were. So, it is one of the more iconic shows out there. It is a basic, simple premise. It is a talent show, and the best talent in America wins $1 million. So, unlike other shows where it's a singing show, or others where it's a dancing show, or a show that's about comedy, or whatever it is that you do, it's not just confined to the spaces of singing or dancing. This is all around. So the ultimate winner of this show could be a dancer going up against a comedian, going up against a musician. And that is the gist of America's Got Talent. Every one of these people who end up at the final rounds are absolutely talented and gifted in their craft. So it becomes more of a challenge to the voters on which ones to pick, and that's when the show becomes a sob story and everyone kind of gets a little annoyed, shall we say. But I'm just getting ahead of myself here. So the show was created by Simon Cowell. Yes, the Simon Cowell from America's Idol, the same guy who basically the whole premise when he founded the show was. So the first part is, this is where we'll start with. So Simon Cowell, obviously, you got to go into the start of when Idol became popular. So Pop Idol became a big sensation in America, and Pop Idol was a big hit in the UK. So Simon Cowell's name is all over the place, being the mean guy, the mean judge on all these shows. But at the cusp of it, when it started in 2004, 2005, That long ago. Jeez. The idea was, well, if Pop Idol is a success, I'm trying to do a shitty British accent here. Well, if Pop Idol is a success, then maybe we can do even bigger than a Pop Idol. Let's make the biggest talent show in the world. And his idea was Britain's Got Talent. Now, here's the catch. The Britain's Got Talent was with Paul O'Grady and Piers Morgan, and they had Mel B, and they had all of these people coordinated, just like the show that we were about to unravel here. But there's one catch. Paul O'Grady had some issues with ITV, so they couldn't even bother with the pilot. So, unfortunately, his idea of a pilot that became a huge success, it didn't even falter. So all they have is this one pilot episode of a Britain's Got Talent to run on. And he tried to approach it to other networks. The thing is that no one knew what it was. They were going off a pilot and they know Simon Cowell. So they went to Fox. Fox turned them down. They went to CBS. Keep in mind, I will remind you, CBS. And they said no. And they went to ABC. They declined. They were too busy with Bachelor Fever. But NBC, because as we all know, NBC is always desperate to try and do the weirdest thing first. And this was at the time when The Apprentice and For Love or Money, all of those reality shows were on there. We'll give it a go. We're the Deal or No Deal channel. Why not? And so America's Got Talent was founded. It was created as fast as possible based on a pilot episode on the original playbook of the Britain's Got Talent. They got Piers Morgan back, but they also brought in David Hasselhoff and Brandy. And their host they decided to get was Regis Philbin, because it's America's golden child, Regis Philbin. So, of course, I'm just going to point this out here. I'm going to even knock on the mouse. Boop, boop, boop. This was America's first experience to Piers Morgan. Piers Morgan sucks ass. Piers Morgan is a piece of shit. I think, well, I'm not saying that as to be any offensive. It is just a fact, because Piers Morgan was not well-liked in Britain either. He's a tabloid journalist. He's always confrontational. And most of the time, he talks out of his ass. He always tries to sensationalize any sort of civil rights to let people believe he is on the conservative party's leadership, and kind of a prick. So this is the, well, I can't be the judge. I'm the American Idol guy. I'm creating the talent show. No one likes Piers Morgan in Britain, so he's the mean judge there, but also we'll make him the mean judge on our show. And also, we'll make Brandy the Paula, and we'll make David Hasselhoff, just because he's the big funny actor guy, to be like the irrelevant person that's kind of silly and out there and fun. So, that was your three. As you might have guessed, it was originally three judges. And that's why those X's are on the screen, because the idea was supposed to be those were like strikes. If you buzz in when you see a talent that you don't like, kind of like Gong Show, this is the audition rounds I'm talking about, you hit the buzzer, burn, and if three X's showed up, you're out of the game. So each year, competition begins of audition stages. First, producers get to see all the weird acts. Then they go into the judges' auditions, and then they have 90 seconds to perform their act. Each judge is given a buzzer to be used during performance if they're unimpressed or don't like what's going on or feel like it's a waste of time. If they're buzzed by all the judges, the performance is over. End of a performance, judges give criticism and feedback. And then, of course, they have to figure out who moves on. It becomes exciting. So there's all sorts of different areas we can go into the auditions, but the mainline thing is people go on stage, they show off their act, the judges buzz them, and then they're out, or they keep going, and I vote to see if you're good enough to keep going or not to Hollywood/Vegas. So then they go in the second round, all of the talents return, and some of them don't get picked up because the producers felt they were worthless, but more on that later. Then we go into the next stages, the callbacks, and they all perform again, and only like a few judge people will continue as they go on to the live rounds. Live rounds, it's exactly like Idol. They're all going to perform, you vote for your favorites, whoever gets the least amount of votes is eliminated, as a certain number of people get eliminated till one is left standing, and they win the grand prize in the finals, which is $1 million, paid for 40 years for $25,000 a year. They also get a national tour, and they mainly takes place within Las Vegas. Season 1 was with Regis Philbin, Piers Morgan, David Hasselhoff, and Brandy. Seasons 2 and 3 was with Jerry Springer, but with Piers and David. But Brandy leaves after Season 1 and is replaced by Sharon Osbourne. Yes, Sharon Osbourne from The Talk. Yes, it becomes problematic now that you think about it. All right. From seasons 4 to 11 is the seasons when we all kind of remember. It's just the Nick Cannon years of America's Got Talent. This is when Piers Morgan leaves and the new mean judge is Howard Stern. David Hasselhoff leaves after season 4 and is replaced by funny man Howie Mandel. No deal, Howie. Let's move. How about that? I'll do the voice. I'm doing the Bobble voice. Oh, that's good, Hot Bobby. Oh, that's good. That's a great voice, Bobby. That's his talent. I got talent like Howie. Sharon gets replaced in season 8 with Mel B. Then they added a fourth judge to the mix the same year as Mel B, Heidi Klum. That's right, the famous model and star of Project Runway herself, Heidi Klum. Then seasons 12 and 13, Tyra becomes the new host. Nick Cannon leaves. You don't worry about him. Something tells me he has a mask up his sleeve. Because he's doing the Masked Singer. That's kind of a big deal now. So Tyra Banks from America's Next Top Model becomes the new host of America's Got Talent. Simon Cowell replaces Howard Stern in season 11. Don't worry, though. Howie is still there. Mel B is still there. And Heidi Klum is still there. That's right. There's two models hosting the show, Tyra Banks and Heidi Klum. One hosted a fashion show. The other hosted a modeling show. And according to researchers, there was some tension between Tyra and Heidi. So much so that Heidi and Mel kind of left the show. Tyra didn't have enough of this, so she left. I think she's doing Dancing with the Stars now, so everything's fine with Tyra. Season 14, 15, 16, this is the newest run. This is the Terry Crews years. Terry Crews of Brooklyn Nine-Nine hosts this show, and he's Team Money from Battle Dome. Simon Cowell, still the judge. Howie Mandel, still a judge. In season 14, Gabriel Union and Julianne Hough were the judges, but then Hough and Gabriel left, and instead it became Sofia Vergara and the return of one Heidi Klum. So now it's Simon, Howie, Sofia, and Heidi. If you haven't figured this out yet, all of the judges aren't American. Simon's British, and Howie's Canadian. And Heidi is, I believe, from Germany, and Sofia Vergara is from Colombia. So it becomes just this fun of, like, none of the judges are American. The only American on stage is the host, and that's Terry Crews. Hey, you know, Terry Crews, likable host. I can't doubt the host. So when they were doing the judges cuts, which is the mid round between live rounds and the auditions, they decided what would be really interesting in seasons 10 onwards is if we got, you know, just different cuts, different judges in each of the seasons. So instead of getting the normal celebrities that we see, like, Howie Mandel, no, let me list off Neil Patrick Harris, Michael Bublé, Marlon Wayans, or Piers Morgan, Nao, Reba McEntire, George Lopez, Lulie Tomlinson, Chris Hardwick. Oh boy, what a great show. Oh, I really love it when you did that breakdancing thing there. Oh, amazing. DJ Khaled, Laverne Cox, Seal, Ken Jeong, Olivia Munn. What? Olivia Munn was on the countdown. ATN, 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 Martina McBride, and yes, did you say it again? Chris Hardwick. You know, very funny, Chris. You know, America's Got Talent's a really fun show because there's dancing, there's singing, there's some stand-up comedy, there's some inspirational stories, there's some people going through hardships and they really need the money, and then at the end of the day, they get to go on stage and they get exposed to the world and their lives will be changed forever. It's such a good show. Brad Paisley was in season 14. Dwayne Wade of The Cube was episode 2. Ellie Kemper, who's not recently been in anything problematic. And finally, Jay Leno of You Bet Your Life. Oh, hey, I really like the way you did that little dance there. It was it was really good. You know, I like the part where you were doing, like, you were pretending you were a ventriloquist. You had a little dummy on your hand and you were talking, but your mouse weren't moving. It was a really good dummy. It was a really good act. So, obviously America's Got Talent is held every year, and it's usually group people audition and people just show off their talents. It is such a fun show because of the talent on stage, and a lot of the talent is weird, it's goofy, it's out there. Some are classical talents like dancing and singing, but it's always unique in a way that is like a Star Search or a what Idol wants to be, where it's that, let's just see what everyone has and just have a blind entertainment show. When you think a light entertainment show, America's Got Talent should be on top of that roster. You don't have to think at all when watching the show. You just tune out and watch this old guy do some tap dancing, and that's it. That's what America's Got Talent is all about. But to continue with this America's Got Talent fiesta. So, why are we doing America's Got Talent right now? Well, first, it's America. Happy birthday, America. America's Got Talent. Have you noticed this? The trend is America. Okay, just throw it out there. It's magic shows, it's dancing, and it's an easy to understand thing, because anyone who is pretty much from any school knows what a school talent show was. And it's just that, but bigger, with a bigger cash prize, and weekly, and just, you have to keep doing bigger and bigger things, and they have stunts and budgets, and it just becomes very fascinating to watch. Now, of course, I'm still talking about America's Got Talent. I think if I just go straight into Britain's Got Talent, or other countries, there's Asia's Got Talent, there's Australian's Got Talent, there's Got Talent all over the world. It's a multi-international, multicultural phenomenon in a way that I'm really obsessed with, because it speaks the languages all over the world. You don't have to understand the language to understand entertainment. What dancing, what singing, what a scary magic trick looks like. To show just for the public a really fun thing. And I think that is kind of the appeal everyone has for America's Got Talent, including myself. For me, I am not a diehard America's Got Talent fan. I'm going to be blunted about that. I don't, like, follow the journey of the contestants and care about the dramatic backstory. I think all of that part is fluff. I think a lot of the production is rough and terrible, but it's because it's a lot of force in a way that I think a lot of people understand, and that's why I'm going to get real negative in quite a bit. But I want to get to the positive first, get to a big negative, then go back to the positive takeaway. That's kind of what this is all about. We're not going to be talking about every act and who won what and who won what season. We're just going straight to the people do an audition, the judges vote for them, or they buzz them out. If they get 3 buzzes, they're out of the game. There's a golden buzzer lifeline where if the judge found that very inspirational story really, really inspirational, they can hit the buzzer and go and just bypass all of the live cut rounds and go straight to the live finals of America's Got Talent, which is so dramatic because that means they don't get to be on stage for 3 weeks. So we don't get to really understand their emotional journey until, like, for about a month later, as it turns out. But that's all right. So America's Got Talent is an easy-to-understand premise. Lots of feel-good talent, lots of people you root for, and it's, you don't have to think. It is the premier live entertainment show that I think if there's nothing else on television, it's a recommended watch. It is the show that gave us Susan Boyle on Britain's Got Talent. Because it's so much of a quick reflect that you're thinking someone's going to be a bad act, and it turns out they're a really good singer. And that's what makes the show great. It's underestimating people and seeing the best out of people in terms of talent. Speaking as someone who's a local Southern California boy, I also like the fact that nowadays, like, the season airs in Pasadena. Pasadena's almost one of my hometowns. It is my mom's hometown. So I have a lot of, like, part with Glendale, Pasadena, La Quinta, Flint Ridge, that little area, because that's the part where my mom goes. And sometimes I travel and my mom's like, I remember going here and doing that. And, you know, it's always fun to get nostalgic and your mom sharing those stories with you. So the Pasadena City Hall Auditorium is the home of America's Got Talent. And it's like, so for me, it's like, oh, this is just like a game show my mom is sharing with the world. That's neat. So there's like a little hometown love when it comes to America's Got Talent. Because of the location. And obviously the winner goes to Vegas. That's the main goal. It's not this weird local auditorium. But the way they present it makes it look fancier than it is in person. but it's also just a lovely area and just a lovely place to be. That I sometimes do get taken back when I'm like, wait, the show is filmed here. I usually think it's New York, which it was during the Howard Stern years. There was all those awkward arena shows they did in early seasons. I just like the fact it's now self-contained. It's in Pasadena. We're building up the auditorium. Show, like, make it a fake set with all these people and dances. It's fine. Because to me, it feels like a home almost. Even though I've never been to a taping of America's Got Talent, that little arena, that little auditorium, that does feel like home to me. And that's to me what I like about it. Now, that's my positive personal takeaway of America's Got Talent, the way it presents people, the hometown connection. But I fucking hate America's Got Talent's production crew. Almost like every judge, it's like always a scumbag at the end of the day. And I just can't like keep watching because I know, oh, Piers Morgan's here. What's Piers Morgan going to go? Oh, he's going to go on CNN and say weird shit. Okay. The funniest thing was I remember Piers Morgan interviewing Alex Jones. And that was just the weirdest chaotic thing I've ever seen. Because I think Piers Morgan amplified Alex Jones's face because he had a meltdown on CNN on his show. I mean, we could talk about Heidi Klum and we could talk about Tyra Banks and what is a model in regards to talent other than judging? It makes no sense to me unless it's a judging or a fashion thing, because that's a real skill. That's a real talent. To look pretty is one thing, but to pose a certain way is everything. So it's kind of weird having them be a criteria for like a country music jug band going hoot 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 hoot, hoot as a talent. Also, I hate the production. I mentioned how much I hate it. Besides the hosts and the judges, we'll throw them into a bus for all I care. Because the judges, they're fine. Howie's okay. You know, Howard's are fine. Whatever. Simon Cowell, obviously, actually a really good judge on this show because this is something from his heart. But it's just what annoys me about the show is they say the same shit every year. You're the reason we do this show. What I love about your talent is you're like no one else we've seen before. You know, the reason I agreed to be on this show was for acts like that. This is the same seven questions, same seven statements, over and over. It just goes, Hi, what's your name? Why are you here? What's your talent? What would you do if you won $1 million? It just becomes the same shit over and over. $1 million, inflation, 15 years ago, $1 million isn't worth much that much these days. I mean, you could probably live in like a Midwestern house for that kind of money and still have enough to slightly retire, but you're not getting that much if it's $25,000 a year for 40 years. So, production companies are just going to be just cheap. But anyway, going into I don't like it. They really try to do the bad acts. I hate that American Idol, that American Idol, America's Got Talent. Let's intentionally get bad acts on there to perform and be made to look stupid so then they can get pissed off at the judges so we can show that they're real. This is a real show when it's like clearly they just went to the UCB, got some weirdo to do one of their weird bits and said, oh, this is funny. You should do it to America's Got Talent. Probably paid someone $50 to do a fake act to fumble a juggling thing as the comedy bit so they can get honked out so you know not everyone's going to make it. Because honestly, I think what would happen is it's just going to be mostly people who audition who didn't even make the cut in the first place. Because remember, the producers make the first cut before it goes to Heidi Klum and Howie, where it's really bad or really good. And of course the producers really want an extreme, so they want really good or really sentimental and okay, or they want a really shitty act that's so stupid it's funny so they can have their one laugh gag during the audition stages. A plug is, it just seems like the producers intentionally want bad acts and it becomes very forced. And to me, I just think that's just kind of craptacular in a way that that's the main reason I turn away from America's Got Talent. It's the bad acts. Because if it's a bad act, I'd be like, yeah, we're just going to embarrass you on TV for the laughs. But it just reminds me of like Gong Show, which was the main point of the show. So if you were going to do like the buzzer thing, make it kind of like Gong Show in a way where it's just like you keep them going so it's bad and then you have them go, boo, okay. Because it just seems like everyone just goes, boo, this sucks, get off the stage, and then buzzer. So they're a man of the people. It's just horrendous. And then another thing I hate about the show is, even though it's supposed to be a judge of talent, they keep doing sentimental poverty porn for a lot of these people. It's the, my mom got cancer and died. Oh, I lost everything in the pandemic. Oh, I have fire and I just saved my guitar and I just kept playing guitar on the corner and I just wanted to be a big guitarist one day, and so America's Got Talent is my only saving grace. Like, or we're the youth group, and we do dancing to get kids off the streets and away from drugs. Because that's like every other season. The youth group of dancers to teach kids to get off the stage. Sorry, get off the streets and get on the stage so they can learn choreography. Yep. Or they're the magician, who clearly has unique tricks up their sleeves, but then they don't necessarily kind of play it exactly like they want, because, you know, you have to be slightly in on the act, and oh, that's funny, we're doing fake pranks on people, and oh, we're just gonna scare people, and it's funny, because if we do the prank, or we do like an escape act, it looks so shocking that it's good for the promo department, so I'm on camera for more airtime than it is. It's too phony, if that makes sense. It just feels like every casting producer has their like 12 or 14 people that they want, and they're just going through the rigmaroles like a Survivor and edit points to make sure that the ones they want are greatly seen. So you can get the emotional journey to get them to the finals. So you can root for them. And it becomes a sentimental game. Where then it becomes like, oh, this act is just like a mom and their daughter singing. Well, you know, they're a really talented duet. But I got to tell you, they don't need $1 million compared to the person that, you know, nearly survived death 4 times. It becomes like not a talent show anymore. It becomes who should we give $1 million to? At this rate, I just think they should just reboot Queen for a Day. I know a lot of people know about Queen for a Day, but if you want sad person tell sad story to win money and prizes, make that the new show. Because that's about it. So we get the talents. And I'm like, at the start, they don't have a budget, and yeah, that makes sense. And then later on, as they go to the live finals, well, it looks like they have a crew now of people, and they get to do their own things and big extraordinary stunts, and whoa! It just becomes too rehearsed and staged. It feels like I've seen the seasons before. Once it becomes a little too formulaic, people tune out, obviously. So the producers try to refresh things. So that's when you get things like the golden buzzer and all these little twists and turns to make it stand out. Oh, look, guest judges. Oh, we're giving away a bonus. And no, there's this thing. I get it. It's the challenge is who has the best talent. That's the game itself. It's okay to have that be the entire show. It's fine. The issue I have with America's Got Talent is it's too choreographed. almost to the point of you can almost figure out who is going to be in the finals. Like, the final episode, based solely on presentation and what they look like in their act. Because if it's just, like, a dummy ventriloquist, they will probably be eliminated in the third week from last. If it's a big dance group, you're going to keep it, because big group of people. Wow. You got to get the Jabberwockies. If it's a singer, you can only have two singers, and one has to be young and one has to be old. It just becomes formulaic in a way that I just don't feel comfortable watching that show. The issue with the show is it's the show. It's going to keep being that show, and there's no way to fix the show unless there's like a way to fix the like tournament aspect and the voting aspect or something. But we do have to like celebrate here a few things. One, America's Got Talent did become one of the first to do online auditions through YouTube and MySpace. And that is something commendable. There was never a time when, hey, submit a video and you'll be on America's Got Talent. You can audition. It'd be great. Because that actually opened up the playbooks even more. So anybody could get picked, get flying out to a city to audition. And that is fun. To me, that's the cool part of America's Got Talent, was that anyone could compete. Another great thing about America's Got Talent was during the pandemic, they kind of had the coolest set. They had the coolest way to protect the judges and the hosts and the talents during it by filming at Universal Studios Hollywood, entertainment capital of LA, by having this really cool virtual reality looking set and some of the outside parts of the lot being used for performances. It made everything feel a little bit more special than a normal sit on the stage and do the act, which I thought elevated the format in a spectacular way. That to me is what makes America's Got Talent so fun. That and BTS performing. Am I right, folks? Light it up like dynamite. It just becomes one of those things where there's always glimmers of how to make the show cooler and more interesting, and then it falters back to its, oh, but we have to have sad stories, and we have to make sure no one has an equal playing field. Maybe kind of like a regular-ass talent show where the one guy who is the popular one always wins because it's a popularity contest and not a talent show. But now we can go into the final part of this America's Got Talent Wonderlust. The main takeaway with this show, because they do that in every version, by the way. They do this in Britain's Got Talent. They do that internationally with Asia's Got Talent, is that the show has mass appeal. And the reason is that sometimes in life, we don't want to think. We really don't want to worry about the problems of the world. We don't want to see sadness. Sometimes you just want to show that you can just relax a bit and be entertained. And America's Got Talent, even though it's a very loose version of a game show because there are hurdles in the form of producers forcing the audience to vote a certain way. I'm not saying rigged, by the way, because you can easily vote against the producer's desires. It's just implied by the producers that you can do these things. It's the fact that because of all of the turmoil we get through, all the sad stuff. Yes, there's sad people there playing the weird talent game show. But it's one of those cases of we want to know like how talented America could get, right? It's America's Got Talent. And there are really talented people, and some of them have gone on to be somewhat celebrities. Other times, not so much. I honestly can't think of many people who have became ultra famous because of America's Got Talent. I mean, a lot of the time it's like, oh yeah, the dance troupe. Oh yeah, that's one. I'm reading off some of the notable contestants and winners of America's Got Talent right now. The Clairvoyance. What? Nothing But Strings. Team Illuminate. Light Balance. So they're both light dancers. Cody Lee. Shin Lim. Matt Franco. I think Matt Franco is a YouTuber these days. Well, how about the Jabberwockies? Kevin James, but not the actor. Rappin' Granny, of course. There is the Superstars. Grandma Lee. Prince Poppycock. There is Lindsay Sterling. Pop Life. There is Melissa Villaseñor. There is Rudy Kobe. There's Brandon James. How about Piff the Magic Dragon? Or Tape Face? Zach Sherwin. Diavolo. Puddles Pity Party was there. How would you like to see the sad clown perform for you? There's the singing Trump. Remember the singing Trump? it's funny because he'll never be president. There is Us the Duo. There is the Sentimentalists. Archie Williams. Bad Salsa. Jonathan Goodwin. There is, how about Josh Blue and Keith Apicary, huh? Josh Blue and Keith Apicary. Josh Blue was on was on Last Comic Standing one time. I guess he can go on this show. And hey, how about we get, you know, Keith Apicary, huh? The Keith Apicary character? Well, maybe we put him there. It would be funny. He's a silly character. He just does the weird dances and he falls down. It's funny. Because he does slapstick performance. Funny, funny stuff. He was in a fucking Flo Rida music video, I think. So it's like, what is this? Oh, well. Hey, remember Talking Classics? Klekentos, the person with the Rorschach mask. How could I forget about what a wonderful magician? I think it's just the problem is, this show can be half hour, it could be an hour, it could be 2 hours long, but still the same old shit. And at the end of the day, that is probably why the show is perfectly NBC, the same channel that gives us Ninja Warrior and The Voice. It's very truncated. You can slow it down, speed it up. It doesn't matter for that network. And it already has that cult appeal that if it's the summer, it's America's Got Talent. Which usually tells me around this time Big Brother will be coming on. So you're going to have to make a decision real soon. Do you want to watch America's Got Talent or Big Brother? I'll let you make that choice. For me, all I got to say is, I don't care one way or the other. Piers Morgan still sucks. But Terry Crews, I think he's cool. I like you, T-Muddy. T-Muddy? No, did I say muddy or money? I'm going to go sleep. Good night, everybody. Big smooch. Mwah.